I wouldn't expect you to even remember it if I shared it with you.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
And Mike, the feverish Fadero.
Never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
They come. Wait, wait.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, the NFC edition. We got some good feedback from that last show, Fanero, or our last show that wasn't a Rookie Fever player profile, because the feedback from those is also very humbling. But I was surprised how much a couple people liked our AFC edition where we went over the things. So, like we said, we promised you we're back with the NFC edition.
Yeah, we don't normally dig in and get a chance to talk about non-rookies so much. That was a fun show, and this is going to be a fun show, too. The biggest thing that I see is, the NFC doesn't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
There's some teams that have it bad over there.
Yep, there's some teams with some picks, but the money might not seem quite the same.
Yep.
And we'll hop right into that. Fanero, you've never been to my city. You've never been to my town. You've never been to my home. You've never sat where I'm sitting. What direction do you think I'm sitting right now? North, south, east, west?
Definitely. You're definitely heading east.
Yeah, I'm like east west.
Okay, see.
I would say I'm east west. I'm east west.
I'm just judging it from the way the sun is hitting your face.
The light in my room. it is the light is
enlightening.
North. Or south. I can't even do directions right now. Like, it's going to be the best part of the show. Anyway, do you want to do south or east first?
Being a Giants fan, I would love to start with the NFC East, please.
I love it.
For 500.
Do you want to start with the Giants or do you want to?
Yeah, why not?
All right, let's do it. A lot of picks.
We do have picks. This is very true. Two very high picks, much like your team. The Detroit Lions, we have the 5th and 7th overall, so maybe not as juicy as the Detroit Lions, but juicy nonetheless. We also have 2/3, which I like. I like the third round swags. I don't think enough people talk about that third round. That's a juicy round for a player. And matter of fact, the more 2022 digging I go and do, a lot of RBs in that third round that we're going to be interested in talking about later. It's crazy. I know we're talking about those top two a lot, but the more I've been digging, there's like 4 to 8 guys that might get drafted in that third round, making that a deeper class than most people think.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Do you think it's a deeper class, or do you think that they'll be drafted in that area because of team needs and them trying to shoot for the moon? Like, is that going to make you more interested in them during your rookie drafts?
So, I think that they are players that complement other running backs. So, these are pass catchers. These are third down backs. These are dynamic players, fast, big play players still. And it's just the way the NFL is going. So I think the more you look back at fantasy, the more you'll see that there's just every single year, there's just a drop off on how many of those all-time backs that you're going to get. And since we're playing dynasty, I'll take some of those pieces later in my rookie draft. I'll take some of those pieces that still have running back value because we're always in need of them. We never have enough running backs, even like you and me, Swags. I think you and I, you more than me, maybe, prioritize the running back position. And we still are looking for running backs because we just know how valuable they are. So I think these are those type of guys, not only that fantasy managers will be looking at, but NFL teams will be looking at. I mean, we have a lot of rotational backfields now. We don't like it, but that's kind of the way the NFL is going. So yeah, I think these are pieces that are valuable. And I think they're also, pieces that maybe, to your point, are being pumped up in the draft a little bit because of this class. I'm not going to argue with that, but I'm still interested.
Yeah. Do you have anybody in mind when you're starting to talk about these plays? Like, is this a Kenneth Walker show or?
Kenneth Walker is going to be probably a second round guy. So my third round guys, I mean, I don't have a full list I can provide you, but there's definitely some names that, I know Johnson's a big one. You got Kyren Williams is a big one. I mean, these guys, depending on where they're drafted and what team they go on, they could wind up being, more interesting rookie picks. But I think what I'm trying to say is I'm not looking at those backs as Elijah Moore, like hopefully get him in the fourth round or even after your draft is over. Elijah Mitchell. I'm thinking that there's more of that middle ground now of the Michael Carters and things like that. I think there's more of those in this year's draft the closer I look at it. And that's exciting for me because the Michael Carter was valuable last year. So right around there, I think Kenneth Walker gets pushed up with Breece Hall and Spiller a little bit. Obviously, the third, almost in everybody's rankings, unless they want to be different, they'll put Kenneth Walker high. I've seen that, by the way. I've seen Kenneth Walker even in NFL mocks draft before Isaiah Spiller. But back to the Giants, my biggest concern is they're $12 million over the cap. They have needs all over. Linebacker, edge, O-line. We've been talking about the O-line for how long? It's starting to come together, but they're going to lose Evan Engram, so they're going to probably need a tight end. I don't think this is particularly a deep class for that. They could sign one of those free agents, because I know they're not particularly fond and haven't been. There's always been trade rumors with Engram. Jabril Peppers is a free agent. Will Henderson, or Hernandez, Lorenzo Carter.
Could they draft a quarterback with that 5 or 7? Do you think Daniel Jones is safe for the year?
I do. Yeah, I actually think he's safe for the year. I think the Giants have, unfortunately, being the Giants fan, I don't want to say this out loud, but we all know it. Anybody listening knows it. You know, we've had a lot of top 5, top 10 picks over the year. So this would not be the QB class for the Giants to dig in. I think they're going to give Jones this one chance with this new head coach that I think was brought in to help Daniel Jones as he helped Josh Allen. And so I think they're going to give him this last year. I don't think they're going to draft one. I mean, they still can draft one and give him the last year. I don't mean to make it sound like if they draft him, they can't give Daniel Jones a chance. I just don't think they're going to waste a 5th or 7th overall to do that. Now, would they draft one in the 2nd or 3rd round? Maybe. That might happen. But then that guarantees Daniel Jones is playing all year.
Yeah, at least for the season.
Yeah, I don't see one at 5 or 7. I think they're going to wind up, honestly, man, it's not going to be fantasy fun, but it's going to be, you know, in the trenches. It's going to be an O-lineman or an edge rusher. Like, there's good players.
That's kind of what they need to focus on a little bit.
And honestly, like, as much as we talk about how this isn't a good class, those players are actually pretty good.
Well, how do you feel about Kadarius Toney at this time? Let's talk about some rookies that are kind of going into our fantasy lineups a little bit or not, for that matter.
So Kadarius, it's all about, like, you know, what's between the ears. You know, is he gonna take this off season and grow up a little bit and take his job seriously? And that's to remain to be seen. I mean, right now I'm hoping that, you know, he keeps his nose clean. I'm not saying that he is a player that could get into trouble. I'm just saying, like, he worries me in general. So, like, if he just keeps his nose clean, comes to work early, stays late, I'm going to get excited about Kadarius Toney. I'm not going to lie, just because I am a Giants fan, because he was a first round draft pick, because he did flash last year. But am I worried about him? Yeah, I'm pretty worried about him.
Yeah, because, I mean, you said a lot of things there to make you excited about him. If all those things happen, by the time they do, even I could be excited about him.
Right. That's a lot of, you know, a lot of ifs I gave you, I know.
So at this point, how do you feel and how do you want to handle that situation? Your Kadarius Toney shares. Are you just holding?
Yes.
In case of all those things come together? And then, or do you just get out because maybe some of those things happen?
Yeah. I mean, what I'm finding lately is, especially because maybe this time of season, is the value for unloading someone this early in their rookie career just isn't really there. Like, I don't think that, you know, and if you can find it, that's different. Like, if you can find, I mean, I told you about a couple moves where I was trying to package Rondell Moore, you know, with, like, you know, Elijah Mitchell, and I wasn't being able to make things. I'm even trying to disguise that it's not the Rondell Moore part that I want to move on from. And I just hear what a lot of us have heard about these negative players, negative meaning like that didn't perform to expectations for a first round draft pick. And I feel like they're just harder to sell than it looks. And maybe I'm not trying hard enough.
You have to send those trades before I edit and put the show out.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Just like, oh, wow, Swags just gave me less time. Like, you can't wait a week and think about it.
I did not, in all fairness, I didn't draft. In any of my rookie drafts, I didn't draft Kadarius Toney. Right around that area, I was looking at Pat Freiermuth, even other wide receivers, to be quite honest. And honestly, I would say this whole world we're in, Twitterverse world, like, nobody liked Kadarius Toney coming out. Like, he was a guy that was crapped on. The only time his
nobody expected him to be drafted by the Giants in the first round.
Yeah, but nobody even liked him. You know what I mean? Like, there was jokes about Kadarius Toney. Like, and he did spike a little bit during the little stretch he had with the Giants, and there was a value there where you could have gotten out. And I think
that was a game.
It was more than a game. It was definitely more than a game. I could pull up there was an amazing game, and there was a game that he played the very next week, and I think he was in there for 3 snaps and had 60 yards. So like the 60 yards isn't going to look good, but he played 3 snaps. And I think it's more than the one game for sure. But I guess the point I was trying to make though, Swags, was his value was there when he was playing. And I feel like his value is back down to consensus where he isn't very valuable again. So like, that's why I think he's a hold. If you really want to move him, I think you move him, you know, when he has that 1, 2, or 3 games next year.
I mean, he had a couple games he was targeted, but he didn't do anything like he did that one game. He had some games where he was given opportunity, but he never had. I mean, he had 12 targets and only 40 yards 1 week. That's nothing like 13 targets and 189 yards. You know what I mean? Even week 4 was arguably his second best week of the season, and he only had 9 targets. Then the other weeks
were 78 yards.
Yeah.
6 catches. Yeah, and then he had another 7 catch game for 40 yards on 12 targets. Yeah, so you're right. I mean,
he didn't do anything with them. He caught the ball, but he didn't do anything with it.
Right.
Only 40 yards on 7 catches, 12 targets. He had opportunity. I'll give him that, but it never flashed like it did in week 5.
But I think we're also removing any context about how he had basically injuries all season long. You know what I mean? Like, he came out of the gate with an injury, which means he missed a decent amount of preseason. Then you see the times where he comes back for 2 games, which we're picking on, comes back for 1 game, misses another 5. You know what I mean? Like, you can spin a narrative where he wasn't completely healthy. I mean, I've heard that for other players that aren't so disliked. You know, it's like, oh, but he was hurt. Like, next year, if he's healthy, he's going to have that opportunity. He's getting 12 targets. He's getting 13 targets. He's getting 9 targets. Like, I mean,
there's
like
a lot of narratives we could spin, and a lot of stuff we're not talking about, from Barkley missing time, Galladay missing time, also getting acclimated to the offense, Evan Ingram kind of underperforming. I get it, but
right.
This is one that I just don't think.
Well, tell me what you think you can get. Because my argument was, wait till you see him on the field again if you really dislike the player. You're saying the way everyone is right now, I want to get out. I'm just wondering, are you getting out for a late second?
A late second?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd want to get out for a late second. I'd probably get out for a mid to early second.
Okay.
Or a random 2023 third. And I want to explain what I'm saying here with my random 2023 third, because I don't completely agree with Twitter and just diverting all of your 2022s to 2023. I think that's just a cop-out and people aren't quite comfortable yet with this class. We'll get you there. But what I'm doing here is I don't really want the late second in any class, because I know it's just getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And I'm hoping that the 2023 random gets me more where I'd like to be, even with the 2022, even if it's just 6 spots earlier in the 2023 class. I'm not saying I can do better with that pick. I just want it to be 6 spots earlier. And in that draft range, I'm willing to wait, especially if I'm making a trade. Now, if I have a late 2022 second of my own, I'm probably trying to find a way to make it move up in this class still. I'm probably not just trading for a random 2023 just for the fun of it. But in a trade that I'm making like this, there's a little bit more context in my head. And I'm happy to move on from Kadarius Toney like that. I would prefer to move on to like somebody like Brandon Cooks, or, you know, add a little juice on top of it and get like a Juju, you know, add something to Kadarius Toney, get Kenny Galladay plus, give him Kadarius Toney. I don't think the only move has to be with picks.
Right.
You do have to like look around and maybe send a few offers to every team in your league. But that activity is what puts the money in our pockets at the end of the day, you know. I don't know. I think that I don't have any Kadarius Toney. It's a tough one for me to really speak on. of what I could do because I haven't been able to try to make those moves and feel it out myself.
Yeah, I told you I didn't draft him anywhere, but yeah. I do own one share because he got thrown into a deal coming back my way.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bigger deal. I can't remember every single piece, but I was trading away Dak in a super flex, so I got quite a bit back. And Kadarius Toney was just like a little tiny piece
mm-hmm.
at the end
so
of that.
So it's hard for me to gauge. I just feel like from community interest, I feel like I could make a savvy move if I had Kadarius Toney, I guess is...
Sure.
But maybe I'm off. Maybe people like him a little less. It's not, I mean, you said you kind of want to hold him, you know, so mm-hmm. there's some kind of hope there.
Yep.
But I feel like we've given Kadarius Toney more time than
I was gonna
the
say,
Giants deserved.
Do you want to make a savvy move down I-95 over to the Washington Commanders?
To Washington. Washington's got some needs, too.
Yeah, they do. They do have almost $32 million of cap space, though.
Wow.
That's nice. That's nice. And they do have their full complement of picks. First, second, third, fourth. Missing out on that fifth, but I think that's okay. Notable free agents, they have Brandon Scherff on the O-line. Ryan Fitzpatrick, but we're going to talk, I'm sure when we talk, we're going to talk about quarterback problems here in Washington. J.D. McKissic, John Bostic, and tight end Ricky Seals-Jones.
Yeah. And then they've got the 11th pick, 42-73. I mean, I don't think the quarterback of this team is on it. I don't know if, to me, Ryan Fitzpatrick hasn't been worth talking about in a few years, except to try to get people to come to their senses. He could land anywhere, though, and people will get excited again. But to me, he's not worth talking about. They obviously need a quarterback, but is it going to come through free agency or the draft, or are they going to be like the Giants and wait another year and just ride Taylor Heinicke out?
That is a big question, brother. That is a big question. When we're looking at these rookie assets, like a Dyami Brown, that's the first question I'm going to have is, like, who is the quarterback?
I don't care on Dyami. He should be moved.
The one, there you go.
Nobody cares about him.
Yep. That's kind of what I have in my notes. It's like, you know, if you have him, like, and moving on is your objective, it's kind of like good luck. Like, I don't know how you're moving on from him. There are some people that, from a Devy perspective, like Dyami Brown, he was a third-round draft pick, but I think with the quarterback questions on top of everything else, I just don't think anyone's interested. If they are, it's going to be for very, very little.
It almost has to be like a lateral move where like mm-hmm. I'm trading you a player that we both feel is almost equal, but I want your player just that little bit more, and you're just mm-hmm. like, yeah, okay, you know, I guess I'll take the risk. There, you know, it almost has to be like a lateral move with just a little sprinkle on top, because I mean, what's it going to... I don't know. I'd rather have Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, so Curtis Samuel is absolutely supposed to be the guy on the other side of McLaurin and compliment McLaurin. And with him missing as much time as he had, I think Samuel and Dyami Brown combined for 18 catches and 192 yards all season. Now, they were both on and off the field, but, you know, this is not what we want to see. I mean, they did miss time. It's not a good indicator, but Curtis Samuel has been healthy. Curtis Samuel has been good for a team. So Curtis Samuel comes back and they get a quarterback. Let's say a quarterback you like, Swags. We don't need to give it a name. All right.
Gardner Minshew. We'll give it
a name. All right. There you go. Let's say Gardner Minshew goes there. Curtis Samuel's healthy. And McLaurin obviously just does McLaurin things. How interested are you in Dyami? I painted a nice little picture. You got a quarterback you like. You know what I mean? I got another wide receiver to take coverage off of Dyami Brown. You still don't like Dyami Brown.
No, that's moving on. He's a roster clog.
Yep, there you go.
I'm never going to feel good putting him in my lineup. If even in a wide receiver three set on how I build my teams, if I'm putting Dyami Brown in my lineup at any time in the season, my team is really hurting at that position. He is not somebody I want to rely on this year, next year, or the next. We just have to we didn't see enough, even from opportunity standpoint, with Curtis Samuel out and the way that team set, to expect Dyami Brown to have a fantasy relevant future.
And Curtis Samuel will still do a bunch of money, so he's not going anywhere. So mm-hmm. you know, expect that to happen. So hopefully he stays healthy. I like Curtis Samuel as a player. Do you rely on in or trying to maybe even buy a little Josh Bates with Logan Thomas's ACL recovery? And it's right now, I looked back at it. He was actually injured on December 5th. It is a 9-month to 12-month return. So that brings him back in early August is the earliest he'd be back, which would be like preseason. More likely September. So I'm thinking he probably starts on the pup and we're going to see a little Bates. And I remember you talking about Bates as a stash. I want to say when Logan Thomas got injured the first time, I want to say you brought that up. So maybe mid-season. I'm just curious with Bates now.
I got him into one of our top 12 projections one week, and he got me points.
Nice.
John Bates did. I don't hate that at all because, honestly, I know most waiver wires are closed right now, but John Bates is probably sitting on waiver wires if I'm not in your league. I think even you and Dave kind of chuckled when I mentioned John Bates at that point. The nice thing about him is he's a true throw-in. Even if he's on somebody's team, like, they're probably just kind of like, yeah, fine, take him, you know? Like, I don't really care. Like, you don't have to go after John Bates to get John Bates. He should be dirt cheap free. Dallas. Does Dallas have the money to keep Dalton Schultz around?
I don't think so, no. Negative $21.5 million.
Yeah.
And you keep hearing that they want to sign Michael Gallup.
You should have just said, Swags, maybe there's no such thing as a stupid question, but that was.
No, sir. There are teams, believe it or not, that we're going to go over that are even worse than the Dallas Cowboys. But the Dallas Cowboys are not in a good situation. And Dalton Schultz, I do not think will be a priority for them.
I mean, Dallas can't even pay their rookies that they draft this year.
Let me talk about that real quick. I know that we're going a little long already this early in the show, but I do want to talk about this cap stuff that I mention all the time. So the Packers have like the second worst cap space in the league, and they're trying to sign people like Aaron or restructure Aaron Rodgers to keep him. Devontae Adams is there's a lot of problems over there financially, right? I just read an article from Packers Wire. It's called How the Packers Can Stay All In for 2022. If you read this article, they restructure Rodgers. They release a couple offensive linemen. They restructure Kenny Clark. They extend Preston Smith and Jar Alexander. They release Randall Cobb. And they make money. They make room. So these teams, like when we talk about cap space, it's just, I'm talking about it in reference that they're in the hole. They're not in a good spot. They're going to have to release money or players to get somewhere. But it's not a death sentence. So negative 21, it doesn't sound good, but it's also not a death sentence. You can move money around, push money later. Dallas has done that for years. But this is not a situation I would want my team in, that's for sure. And I think Dalton Schultz just isn't that player for them. I think it's exciting what Dalton Schultz did with Dallas is exciting, but I don't think they're going to hold him. I think they're more likely to hold Gallup.
Yeah, probably. And they need that wide receiver too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And a backup quarterback.
Yes. Totally agree with that as well.
The Eagles.
Lots of first round draft capital, Swags. I know you saw that. 15th overall, 16th overall, 19th overall. They have a second, a third, a fourth, 3 fifths, and 2 sixes. They do have needs, believe it or not. Wide receiver is still one of them. Notable free agents, Brandon Graham, big player for them. Jason Kelce, oh my God, huge player for them. Derek Barnett. I know Jason Kelce personally, by the way. Anthony Harris and cornerback Steven Nelson, not as big. Notable rookies, obviously, Devonta Smith and Kenny Gainwell. But 21 over the cap, Swags. They got some money. Under the cap. They have $21 million. Yeah, puts them right in the middle of the league, just to give you relevance. I think we mentioned that on the AFC show, but that was a little bit ago. So, yeah, 21 doesn't put them in the upper echelon of cap space, but it gives them some wiggle room. And, yeah, I think they're going to probably have to draft another wide receiver, don't you?
Yeah, I think they'll need another wide receiver too.
Crazy. They're doing something wrong over there if you're drafting a wide receiver in the first round 3 years in a row.
And honestly, Smith was the first one to hit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I know we're just trying to stick with these rookies from the 2021 class, but I mean, if you can find a way to throw Rager into a trade because people have some kind of hope that he's going to stick around, I absolutely would.
Good luck.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. I'm with you, but and throw in some offers for Miles Sanders.
There you go. Maybe, yeah, you and I are talking about that. I agree, man. Yeah,
I had the league I talked to you about that I got him for a 210, a 307, and a 309, and I got Miles Sanders. And yeah, I think that he's very worth that. He's worth three darts to me.
Oh, 100%.
And I don't even like that phrase, but that's what he is. I spent all my darts, and I decided for Miles Sanders to be my one big dart that I'm hoping, you know, like that team I needed a running back. What do you got on Chicago? Let's get over to the North. I think they definitely need a wide receiver. I think they could use a running back behind Montgomery, maybe a backup tight end. This sounds really weird. If I go after, like, let's say Justin Fields, and I add him to my dynasty team, now I want to find the stack.
Mm.
And I haven't been comfortable going after Darnell Mooney in those situations. I think Darnell Mooney is going to be around. I like Darnell Mooney, mind you. But he hasn't been anybody that has really enticed me to go after that stack. Like, where's the stack? Is there where, you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying, kind of?
Yeah, absolutely. You might find the stack in your rookie draft.
Yeah. I mean, do you kind of agree? Like, we like Darnell Mooney, but I don't love Darnell Mooney. I don't want to speak for you. I started to, mm-hmm. but.
Yeah, you know, I like myself some Darnell Mooney. However, if you're talking about a stack of number one wide receiver just to stack with Justin Fields, I think that guy might not be on the team yet.
Yeah.
So whether that's free agency, there's a lot of big names of free agency. We have a little bit of money here, $26 million. But I mentioned the Chicago Bears specifically on this show of having 33 free agents in their own team. A lot of them on the O-line. We're going to want a wide receiver in Chicago. But wide receivers are not going to come in the first round because they don't have a first round pick. They don't have a fourth round pick. So in that second and third round, if you're, you know, if the O-line or the center or even a corner that they think is higher on their board, they're not going to go wide receiver again. And are they going to get as lucky as Detroit did with Amon-Ra in the fourth? I don't know. You know, I mean,
that is a first time experience. There's never been a fourth rounder to do that in his rookie season. There's never been a fourth rounder to hit like that.
And I've told you how interested I am in Justin Fields for multiple reasons. I'm worried about him, and I also love the talent. So I am really curious in this offseason between the rookie draft and free agency how this team shapes up.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of question marks. More question marks than I think anyone wants to actually talk about.
So once those players, Finero, become free agents, how much cap do they have, did you say?
26.
That's not even that much.
It's not bad though. It puts them in the top 20, top 15, top 15, top 15. If they're green, they're green on my chart. So puts them in the top 15. So it's not bad. It's the fact that they're losing more than anyone, and that those aren't no names. Like, the offensive line is a pretty big deal to the quarterback. The offensive line is a pretty big deal to the running backs and wide receivers. Darnell Mooney is a field stretcher. That's going to affect if Justin Fields is going to take off instead of throw the ball downfield. I really like that connection between Mooney and Fields. I've mentioned it a couple times. I do really like that connection, but I agree with you. Like, I think Mooney was an excellent two.
Yeah, and I think even at that, if I did want to chase that stack, I think I have to pay too much for it.
Yeah, probably.
And then it even makes me think, you know, I mentioned maybe they need a running back. You mentioned they don't have a fourth round pick. I don't think it would be smart for them to use their third round pick on a running back.
No.
That puts the running back that they're going to draft perceivably in the fourth round or later, or fifth round or later.
Yep. Don't even have a fourth
round pick. And then this makes me feel like maybe Herbert's safe as the backup in Chicago. Like, maybe 100%. He's somebody that you actually go to get kind of cheap to add to your David Montgomery teams. Because I don't mind handcuffing. I know that that's a controversy thing in fantasy, but I think you could go add Herbert relatively cheap right now to your David Montgomery teams.
And I think personally, and this is probably not going to hit people the right way, but I think he has the same value in my mind as Alexander Mattison does.
I would maybe more
as a backup. I think.
I don't want to say more, but I might be more interested. I think that I could pry him easier, and he might help me just as much or more in those situations.
Totally agree. And Alexander Mattison's value has been high as a handcuff to Cook for years.
Yep.
And I think Herbert belongs in that same exact discussion.
Yeah. Detroit. Need a wide receiver.
I think they'll go for a wide receiver. I think that's the biggest question mark for me.
I do.
I think they needed one desperately last year, and they didn't seem to make it a priority.
They did pretty good with what they did.
Like, they sure did, but they did not make it a priority. And I'm wondering if management will now, with hitting on Amon Ra, say, okay, we need to help him out. Let's go. Let's keep this train going. Or whether they just, you know, work from the inside out again. They need a corner and they need another offensive lineman. A linebacker would be nice. A D tackle. Any mock I see does not have them picking a wide receiver with either of those two picks. The second overall or the 32 overall. Mark Schofield, by the way, would absolutely love if the Detroit Lions picked Malik Willis with their 32 overall pick. If you want to listen to that profile. Great landing spot and opportunity for Malik to sit behind Goff for a year or two. His preference,
when,
I think,
when does that
longer.
Release to the public? Is that a week or two? When is
that? That is this Wednesday, I think.
Nice.
Yeah. Very soon. Yeah, so that's why I asked you. Like, Khalif Raymond's gone. He was taking up some snap shares and targets for sure. Josh Reynolds is a free agent. And when I say gone, I shouldn't say that. I should say they're free agents. So Khalif Raymond and Josh Reynolds are both free agents. So these are two players that were playing for Detroit that were on the field. Mm-hmm. And now all we have is Amon Ra. And I wonder if they do make wide receiver because of that lack of depth of priority, or they just re-sign some of these guys. And
I think they're going to draft one. I really do.
Second round?
Either with that 32 or that 34. I think one of those will be a wide receiver. It'll be not one of the top wide receivers in the class, but it'll be one of the top five wide receivers in this class.
My guess, just if I get to play guessing game, I'm going to go with one of those thirds.
Hmm.
I'm going to go there. I think they're not going to use a second round draft pick on a wide receiver. I think they're feeling themselves from last year and think they could do just fine with one of those thirds.
Yeah, I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown's stock would hugely rise if it did. And mind you, I'm not worried about Amon-Ra if a wide receiver goes there.
I'm with you. We've talked about that. I absolutely agree.
So, I mean, I don't hate it at all, but as a Detroit fan, I would like to see that wide receiver this year, whether it's through free agency somehow or the draft. I would like to see a wide receiver to complement Amon-Ra St. Brown early on in his career as well, because I do think he's going to have one. You see a lot of wishy-washy things on Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't know. The one interesting one to me is you see a lot of narratives where people compliment Devonta Smith and how great he did in his undesirable situation, in his quarterback situation, no help on the field. Wait till he gets somebody. He's going to be really good. Amon-Ra St. Brown, in a situation that everybody hated going into it, there was no way he was going to succeed. He does, but now once they get a wide receiver, he's done. It's just the complete opposite. You'll see somebody tell you to go get Rondell Moore and then crap on Amon-Ra St. Brown because he was a fourth round draft pick. Nothing more. Because he was a fourth round draft pick.
That in the narrative of, you know, he was getting targets that could have belonged to Swift and could have belonged to Hockenson with their injuries. But I think the thing that people are just glossing over is yeah, okay, yeah. He got those targets for those two reasons, but he capitalized off of those.
But no, this is the thing they're actually glossing over. And I think we've brought this up on Rookie Fever before. This is what people are glossing over. And this is what they don't want to look at. They're not even glossing it over. But just go look at the games that they all three started together. Go look at that. Swift's targets were 35. Hockenson's were 43. Amon-Ra St. Brown's were 42. Those were the games they started together. All three of them. That's not that bad.
Yeah, I'll take that. How many games was that?
That is seven games.
Seven games, 40 targets?
Yep. That is weeks 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, and 11, and 12.
So that's
Hockenson
six or seven.
43 targets.
That's six or seven targets per game.
Yeah. And 42 for only one behind Hockenson.
Right.
We're acting like Swift and Hockenson were just getting peppered compared to Amon-Ra St. Brown, but there's legitimately weeks where they all started and Amon-Ra St. Brown, week five, Amon-Ra St. Brown had eight targets to Hockenson's three and Swift's six. You know what I mean? Like, people aren't looking at this stuff. Right. They're just like, look at that last 6 weeks, though. Oh, that amazing stretch. Yeah, I want to see some consistency. So then why the hell are you telling me that last 6 weeks was so bad?
Right.
Like, wasn't that pretty damn consistent? Anyway, I want to see another wide receiver there. I think it'll help him out. I would like to see him continue grooming in that slot role, to be honest with you. I liked what I saw. I know you listened to John Lobb this week on Drake London, and he talked a little bit about Amon-Ra St. Brown. I would love to see him continue to excel in that offense. I didn't plan on Detroit taking this much time from Arrow.
I didn't plan on Kadarius Toney taking that much time, so.
Our damn home teams. Green Bay!
Oh, Green Bay, my brother.
Jordan Love is not the answer.
No, I don't think so either. Close to $51 million over the cap.
And Rodgers wants 50. Rodgers wants 50.
That's why I brought up the whole cap example that I read on PackerWire.com. Check it out. They can move stuff around, but I mean, if you listen to NFL people, people are thinking that there's a way, A, to keep Aaron Rodgers there, and B, that Aaron Rodgers should just stay there. That is his best shot at a Super Bowl again, and maybe the best way of even retaining Adams again. If you could work out the money, and that article worked out the money. There's absolutely issues with what they have to do to make that money. It would be a disaster for their future, but they have. It'd be very interesting. This QB carousel swags every year seems so interesting. This year it feels more interesting than last year, and I thought last year was the most interesting it's ever been. The quarterback carousel is like it's just a fun time of year to because it just affects so many players. And you got to start with Green Bay. Like Green Bay, like if Rodgers leaves and goes to Denver, we keep hearing that. If he stays in the Packers with the Packers, how does that affect all the players there? We already saw them make cap moves by restructuring Aaron Jones. So they're already, that's one of the moves that they would have to make to make room for an Adams or a Rodgers. So this is all about, for me, the Packers is all about who the hell is the quarterback.
Absolutely, man. And if not that team, I mean, that team is going to be run through A.J. Dillon if Rodgers isn't there.
To your lips and God's... Wait, from what's that phrase? From your lips to God's ears. I own a lot of A.J. Dillon, baby. Yeah, I like it.
The Vikings, not much to talk about, right?
No, not at all, man. I'm trying to find something. There's this Amir Smith-Marset in the fifth round. You want to talk about him? I don't.
I mean, not much, you know.
They got they're also over the cap.
I could butcher your name for us and stay on brand. And there's
Give it to me. That running back.
Yeah, like if I could pair him in a trade just to move on, you know, if I could get him to the Dalvin Cook team, you know, I like to say try to get the players in the right places. If there's a place for him where somebody maybe even like moderately interested, that's probably where you want to try to push him to. I will say I've tried to make this move for as late as a fourth round pick and have been rejected. So it's hard to even get nothing, let alone even put somebody in a situation where I'm offering you him and then you have to figure out who you have to drop to take him on. It's hard to find that situation.
Yep. I think they like him on special teams for sure. I think they like him on special teams, which is a double edged sword, keeps him on the team, makes him valuable, has him hang around. But it doesn't really help your fantasy lineup.
A lot of times, people vacation in the South.
Oh, that is a wonderful feel like place to
for
vacation.
Us, though, it might be a good place to save some time.
Oh my goodness, dude! But if we gloss over this whole division, I could see not really missing much. I mean,
vacation
other than
in the West, then, and
other than making the point that the New Orleans Saints have zero. They have money problems at the wazoo. They're $76 million over the cap. I mean, they got draft picks. They have 2/4, but I mean, the Saints, we're going to see a different New Orleans Saints, I think, for the next 3 to 5 years, a very different team. As we see teams like the Bengals rise, I think we're going to see teams that we're used to seeing in the playoffs, like the Saints, and just not be there.
Yeah.
It's not in the cards, man.
Yeah, a lot of changes there too. But really no notable rookies to talk about from the 2021 class.
No.
Don't even know if they're going to have Jameis Winston.
No.
I mean, they need a quarterback, a wide receiver, perceivably a running back, a tight end.
Even Taysom Hill is a free agent. So both their quarterbacks are free agents. They have PJ Williams at corner. They have an O tackle. Marcus Williams at safety. With all this cap problems. I mean, and they need a quarterback, Swags.
I could see the Saints being a team that we focus on more when we do this again after free agency.
Yeah.
Just because I think we'll have so much more context and be able to try to figure out what they still need to do with all these picks through the draft. Because they do have some draft picks, you know, but I mean, like with some other teams, they don't have a third rounder. They've got the 18 and the 49.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think this is a team that we might come back to a little bit.
The only team in this division that is over, that is under the cap is the Carolina Panthers at almost $16 million under. And with some notable free agents, we have Terrace Marshall, Tommy Tremble, Chuba Hubbard, Shai Smith. Any of those names you want to talk about?
Not really, to be honest with you. Like, I'm more curious, like, if they draft a quarterback. I took my notes before they signed Ian Thomas, which is probably kind of even a mute point to bring up. But I had that they need a tight end. Mm-hmm. In my notes, whether it's through draft or free agency, I'm curious if they ride out Sam Darnold for a year. We've heard rumors about Kirk Cousins maybe being traded to the Panthers. Do they try to draft somebody at six to push Darnold there?
I have a little, yeah, maybe. The quarterback situation, again, and we keep running into this over and over and over again, makes it so hard to talk about a particular team this early in the process before free agency. And like you said, it might be way more interesting, maybe in particular for the Carolina Panthers, who might be shopping for a veteran quarterback and with a little bit of money could do so. And for that reason, I don't want to gloss over Terrace Marshall that much as far as me. I know that you're out on the player. I actually
Good.
I want to talk about it just a tiny bit because I think that they just used him dead wrong last year. They were using him in the slot, which is weird because Brady knew him in college. So I'm a little confused on why he was used that way. But because the player was used so poorly and because we have a changing of the guard, and you know, we had Sam Darnold and Cam and even PJ Walker played a game. We have the same sort of QB excuses and problems. He was on COVID IR for a bunch. Yes, he got benched week 12 for Shai Smith, but Robbie Anderson isn't going anywhere. DJ Moore clearly isn't. So we still have plenty of wide receivers to talk about. Mm-hmm. But the reason I kind of like, I'm a little more in on Terrace than I thought before doing this research, just because I feel like he's pretty cheap, dude.
Yeah.
I feel like he's like,
that's what I really like about cheap. Him. I feel like he could give you just as much upside as like a Rondale Moore or a Kadarius Toney.
Totally
or
agree.
Some of those guys, but at a fraction
totally
of
agree.
The price.
Yep.
And I would even say I'm more interested in him. And it's not because of price to acquire. It's because of everything you just said. And I know you said, you know, I'm out on him, but I honestly don't recall saying that. I have concerns, you know, but
Terrace
Marshall's one that, like, and I know, I think I know why you think that, probably because you and I have had a lot of trades go back and forth, and he's involved in a lot of them in that mm-hmm. particular league. But look at my wide receiver depth and, like, just kind of what I'm trying to do. And we've talked about Josh Jacobs and the scoring in that league since, you know
sure.
what I mean?
Yep.
And like,
absolutely.
So that's probably why you thought I was out on him now that I think about it. But yeah, dude, I'm with you. He's not somebody that, like, cause even in a lot of those trades, I was trying to give you Des Fitzpatrick and, cause I didn't want to give you Marshall and Des Fitzpatrick's like, I might as well drop him in my opinion, almost, you know what I mean?
Agree
but,
with that.
But, he was, I didn't want to give you Marshall. So that's why so many of them had him ugling up the trades before
I'm not
getting the ones with Marshall.
I'm not interested in a player that the team that drafted him cut already. Those are early red flags for me.
Yeah. Don't go too deep into all that. We don't,
yeah.
we're totally leaving a division here.
Exactly.
But I'm just saying like that, I think that's probably why you thought I was out on Marshall.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
So yeah, I'm with you, dude. I do wonder what happens with Darnold for the year, but
he's a piece that's hard to move too if you have him.
Yeah. What about Falcons? Are you dropping Kyle Pitts?
Oh yeah. First chance I get.
Like, just a
can't
plug.
Can't hit enough rookie records. Save his freaking second. I don't like second place. I only like first place.
The Falcons don't have a lot to talk about either from that 2021 class, though. I feel like they need a quarterback really soon.
I'm surprised they didn't draft one of those last year. Really,
yeah.
really am surprised they didn't. I was like, wondering what their plan is. It's kind of like Pittsburgh. What's your plan?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see your plan. Like, we all know that these guys are gone. Like,
yeah.
And we're right. Ben's gone. So what was your plan? I still don't see your plan. And Atlanta's going to wind up in the same exact situation because they're in a draft class where it's not too sexy to pick a quarterback right now either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that worries me.
And Atlanta seems like it would have been I don't know any of these players personally, okay? But my perception of Matt Ryan is he would probably be a good vet to have a young quarterback behind, where I don't really feel the same way about Ben Roethlisberger. And again, I don't know them personally, but I feel like Matt Ryan would be a great veteran to have a quarterback for behind for a year or two. Like you said, drafting last year, you know?
Yeah, I it's odd to me. Last year in particular, they were in a perfect spot to make that move.
Yeah.
Perfect spot.
Yeah. Speaking of perfect spots, the Bucks have placed themselves in a position after winning a Super Bowl to be able to retain every single player that was on the team. And now they are at the spot where the team has completely fallen apart and they've lost all of the key players that would get them to another Super Bowl. And they've got low draft picks because of it and not a lot of 2021 rookies to talk about. I don't know if what we do with the Bucks, or if this is another one we wait a little bit for with free agency. I don't know if we hit the rewind button. Do you have any small amount of interest in Keyshawn Vaughn, or do you think that anybody else would enough to where they see Leonard Fournette moving on and maybe you can – I don't have Keyshawn Vaughn. I like to build good teams. But do you – I don't know.
I don't. But to say that both of us are on the record from the get not liking Keyshawn Vaughn, but there are plenty of people that probably want to be right about Keyshawn Vaughn. So those people are the people I would probably try to seek out for sure with Keyshawn Vaughn. There's still a little there for everything that you just said. You know, I mean, it looks like Fournette's gone and that could be an opportunity for Tampa Bay. I mean, seriously, man.
Ronald
Tampa
Jones
Bay,
is an afterthought. I'd rather go after Keyshawn, though. But nobody talks about Ronald Jones.
No, Tampa Bay went from like a team that you want like all the assets on to a team where you might want to look the other way. $3 million over the cap, by the way.
And I don't know. Is Kyle Trask the answer? He might be the only one from that class worth talking about. Like, can you move on from Kyle Trask in a super flex dynasty league? Because people are like, maybe.
Good luck. His name's not coming up in any talk whatsoever. You think that you would hear a little bit of Trask talk. I heard more Trask talk while Brady was there in preseason.
Yeah.
Like that they liked him, and I haven't heard a word since. And you would think with Brady's retirement, there would be some talk inside the organization. There's nothing. If anything, they're trying to figure out, is the head coach going to stay there? Are they going to blow up the entire team? I think they're closer to blowing up the entire team.
Here is my hypothetical trade offer to you, Fanero.
Oh,
I'm going to give you Kyle Trask and a 211 this year for your Sam Darnold. Which side do you want?
I'll keep Sam Darnold.
I think I probably would too.
Yeah.
Just wondering if that was like a move that could.
Yeah.
You could try it, though. You could still try it.
Sure.
But
I like the question.
Let's go. Let's get to this vacation we were talking about and get out west. The Rams just won the Super Bowl.
Common knowledge that the Rams are in a bad position with draft picks and cap space.
Yep.
Kind of in an all in year. They're going to try to retain, just like Tampa Bay did, as much of these players as possible. They are $21 million over the cap. Von Miller, who was a big part of that run, is a free agent. Darius Williams, Sony Michel, Odell Beckham, who was nice for them down the run with touchdowns for sure. That injury, though, is going to be tough to want to re-sign that player, to be honest.
And can I interest you in Tutu Atwell?
No. Not in any way, shape, or form. I looked at Tutu Atwell. I am not interested. Biggest reason was
the
same.
Can you help me find a way to interest other people so we can help them move him?
One way to one way to not interest people is to talk about the fact that he weighs 155 pounds. I wouldn't start there. I would probably start with the fact that he was a second-round pick, which everybody will bring up. I would probably start with, well, Van Jefferson was a second-round pick, and Van Jefferson has value in his second
year. I'm interested in Van Jefferson.
I would go there if you want to try to sell Tutu. I have zero interest in Tutu Atwell, not even if I have special team scoring. I'm just out. I think that's what he is.
Somebody asked about Tutu Atwell, and I said, actually, I'm more interested in his newborn child.
I'm more interested in
Van Jefferson's newborn child.
That was my favorite tweet of the month.
But, and that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah.
Like, go to, let's, we'll get you to 2040 in that class.
I love it.
So.
I heard it's going to be a great class. I'm already trading picks for the 2040 picks.
You know, and the value is going to continue to rise for years.
Yep. Trading all my 22 picks for 2040.
Yep. What about the Cardinals?
So.
A sigh.
Yeah. I mean.
Is that a sigh of relief or like, oh, here we
go? I'm prepared for the Rondale Moore talk. That is inevitable. So if you would like to speak about Rondale Moore one more time, I do have the
nothing to talk about.
I do have the argument for the other side of maybe being a little interested in Rondale Moore's upside. You don't even want it on your pod, do you? You're like, you know what? I'm so done with Rondale Moore.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of... I've almost muted him on Twitter. Like, he's one of... Like, I'd rather... I mean, if you want to try to give them something good about Rondale Moore, if you believe it...
How about just give me...
If you believe it, Finero, I'm happy to hear it. If you're just trying to, like, find a reason, I don't think we're helping anybody.
I started with trying. I absolutely started with trying. And after I... put it up on paper, I do feel like there's an argument for why I would hold Rondale Moore instead of trying to sell him. I think hold is a
fictional term in fantasy.
Why I'm hopeful for Rondale Moore.
We can, yeah, and I can explain
that. Tell me which word you like.
On another show. Well, I understand hold and all of that. I get wanting to have hope. I have hope in a lot of things. But yeah, let me hear it.
So everyone's going to tell you about who's leaving, right? Or possibly leaving.
Mm-hmm.
A big thing is usage. So if AJ Green was to leave or Christian Kirk was to leave, usage could potentially go up. We have negative cap space situation. So we don't have the ability to sign a Chase Edmonds, an AJ Green, a Christian Kirk, a Zach Ertz, and a James Conner. So there's going to be pieces that go away. His size is brought up a lot. He's basically the same exact size as Elijah Moore. Everybody loves Elijah Moore. Almost the same exact size, with 4 pounds off, same height. So between the targets leave or the players leaving because they don't have the cap space, between them having, you know, they have good draft capital, but it's nothing special. Last year, the fact that Rondale Moore outscored people like Bateman and Josh Palmer and Nico Collins, who we all seem to like their upside. I just feel like there's a little hope, more hope than when I started digging in a little bit on Rondale Moore, than, you know, because I was kind of out. Like, I already told you, I was, like, trying to sell him, and I was getting a lot of, like, this is another reason, by the way. I was getting a lot of, I never liked him in the first place talk. You know, I'm not big on him anyway talk. And so I just feel as though I'm a little more optimistic on him than I think the people who are down on him are.
You have to try to understand part of my reasoning here. I think he is priced out at what he can absolutely do. If I can move on from a player when they're priced out at what they can absolutely do when they haven't done it yet, I'll just move on to somebody that's doing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to minimize my risk. That's how he's priced out. Like if Rondale Moore is all of a sudden a wide receiver 3, there's no room for him to gain value because that's how he's priced out. So why not just move on to somebody that could be a wide receiver 2 or that already is, because he's practically priced in that area to show that success. I'm not missing out on anything except a name. It's just a position. I don't need that particular name in my lineup. You know, he's not anybody that I think you would agree, even with your size comparison, like you don't think of him in the same light as you do Elijah Moore.
Nope. I'm just bringing up that a common.
Yeah. But hear me out. So what I'm saying is that he doesn't have that same allure to me, and I can move on from him in a way that will help my team today and still in the future just as much as it will if Rondale Moore hits. But he hasn't, and he might not. You know, mm-hmm. So why not just like turn your roster over and put the risk on somebody else's team? Is part of my problem, you know, if Rondale Moore all of a sudden is a, we'll say wide receiver 3 for sake of conversation, and I need a wide receiver, I can probably go get him for about what I can today. It's not going to change too much. It's the only way for it to go is down.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not getting the same value that you're seeing when I try to move him because
it's not going to, what will change is the ease and how hard it is to acquire. The value is there though. Like it's so, I mean, you might need to put a little bit in, but like,
yeah,
that's all that's going to change. Like the players that you're going to see in the trades for Rondale Moore in 6 months to a year from now are going to be very similar to some of the stuff you're seeing today. That's how I feel. Maybe I'm wrong, but that is part of it. It's not just like I want to sit here and piss on a player. It's kind of, to me, he's priced wrong. If he hits, that's awesome. But if he doesn't, there's no room for me to correct this action without getting out today.
I think you explained that very well. I totally understand what you're saying.
So that's a lot of it with Rondale Moore. And just, he's an analytics dream. He's a dynasty team's nightmare.
Ooh, that should be the title of the show. The only team in this whole division that doesn't have a nightmare of cap room is the Seattle Seahawks. They're 34 million under the cap, Swags. That's a top 5-8, if I had to guess, area. Notable free agents, Dwayne Brown on the O-line. They got Gerald Everett at tight end, Rashad Penny at running back, who definitely flashed at the end of the year, and defensive lineman Rasheem Green. I was chatting with Jason DiRienzo and shitting upon Mr. D. Eskridge a little bit, and he actually put his hand up and said, well, hold up. Give him this next year. Don't give up on him yet. So I'm just going to put that out there. Okay. That was not on the mic. That was after the show. I don't know why I got there. I think it was probably talking generically about second round pick, kind of busts. And I put Diaz Gridge there, and he wanted me to hold off. He thinks that there is enough upside there to just hold on a little longer for that player. So I like Jason. So we'll see.
Yeah, and he's probably somebody that you could obtain very easily as well.
I agree.
Nice little stash. We need some stashes every here and there.
I agree. There wasn't enough stashes.
And Jason's a smart guy.
He is a very smart guy.
So I don't hate that at all. I do wonder what's going to happen with the running back room there, but there's nobody really from the 2021 class that sparks any interest. I've been trying to acquire like Rashad Penny and some teams I need running backs in, but it's been tough.
No first round pick.
Yeah.
Seattle.
Nope.
No first round pick. Not that's where running backs would be picked.
You really, you said you liked that second and third round area for some running backs. So you never know.
Absolutely. Yep. That's a sweet spot.
They've got the 41 and the 72.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. It sounds like Russ will stay there.
I hope so. For all my DK Metcalf shares.
49ers. For what it's worth, Trey Sermon is safe. I do not, and I mean it, like as crazy as I do not think they're drafting a running back.
I agree.
And that's why I said for what it's worth, but maybe he has some kind of opportunity this year. I don't know how I feel about Trey Sermon because he's nothing. Okay. That's the problem. So like, do I put that nothing? Cause I have literally, I think two shares, one or two. I don't know if I moved one or not. Do I put that nothing into a little offer and try to give him to the Elijah Mitchell team? Or do I go try to get some of that nothing and just stash him, kind of like you even said with Eskridge, because you know how running backs can be and they become available with injury. And like, I'd almost rather like try to just stash the nothing because you can't get anything for him anyway. Like, and the cost to acquire has got to be so cheap. I haven't really tried to add any,
As an Elijah Mitchell owner, I would be interested.
Yeah.
If you want to come at me with a, obviously like the way you phrased it though, like as a little add-on to another deal, that would spice up whatever you really wanted. And for you, I'm guessing it would unload the player you really don't want. So I would be one of those. I think I would be one of those. I've shit on Trey Sermon for so long.
Just like, what's the point of me giving him to you?
Yep. I agree with you.
Unless it's really a move that I feel like makes my team better, and he's not that player that's gonna demand that.
No, he's not.
So
it's gonna be a unique scenario where you're happy with that the main part of the deal, and you know the Trey Sermon part is you look up and you're like, wait, that's the Elijah Mitchell owner though. Like I could probably make this happen with Trey Sermon.
Yep, and an exception could be, and a lot of us are gonna go through this, and we might not talk about this enough, but there's going to be roster cutdowns. You and I have already been through at least one league where we've been making them. Mm-hmm. There's going to be roster cutdowns. there could be a situation where that's your time when you're like, shoot, he's probably like my second or third worst player on my team. Like, I need to try to make a 2-for-1 to this team before they recognize roster cutdowns are coming even, and start to make those moves now before everybody's in panic mood. Because once you hit panic mode, you can't make those 2-for-1s. They're trying to do it themselves, and they're already picking who they're going to drop that they don't want to. Like, try to stay ahead of that a little bit and try to make those 2-for-1s now. Like, that's why we're trying to do these shows for you before our rookie drafts, and then we're going to follow them up with some of the free agency stuff later.
That's juicy information. That feels like your final thoughts right there. That literally, like, that is a simple thing that not enough people do, because it comes after the stretch of kind of like where we're all like taking a break.
Yeah.
Like, this is all your leagues, depending on how many you're in.
You're all doing it at the same time.
Right. You have to avoid that at all costs. You should have a spreadsheet, whatever it takes. If you're in one league, you already know off the top of your head, look at your league real quick. Mm-hmm. If you're in a couple leagues, you should, again, don't need a spreadsheet. But if you're in multiple leagues and you're just missing that, you're missing opportunities, like Swag said. That's absolutely happened to me more than I care to admit, where there's a league where I forgot that roster cuts were way before I'm used to them being.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, that's why there was so much league activity in the league and why I wasn't a part of that.
Yep.
You have to be on top of that. It's a big date cut down.
Yeah, absolutely. So with the 49ers, I mean, that's kind of all I really like got. Same here, brother. I think that this isn't what really this show has been about, or these segments, but how are you feeling about Trey Lance with all the, like, the weird news and rumors in the air? Like, are you trying to go?
Yeah, so for Garoppolo, I really don't think he's staying. I think this news is coming from Garoppolo's agent, not really the team. And I actually heard that recently from the NFL and from a beat reporter on that's been with San Francisco for years. And it's really just to drum up value for Garoppolo. I really think if you can capitalize off that in fantasy somehow, like, you find somebody that's worried about Lance now, I think I would definitely try to capitalize on that. But I think it's going to be a short period of time, because at some point, very soon, they're going to have to move on for Garoppolo. I think they're just drumming up the value. They want it first, is what they really want. And, you know, if we think about that, we're like, ah, first for Garoppolo, it doesn't seem likely. The second seems likely. And
but
that's
do you
why
remember when they did that last year?
Yeah,
they
no,
tried
I
to
agree.
Do it with the Patriots, and they waited too long, and then the Patriots drafted Mac Jones, and they were like, ah, and they're playing the same game. Like,
right.
Gosh, like, a what game. A stupid game. Like, and that's what so many dynasty managers do as well. They play those little games, and then it's like, oh, it's too late now. Like,
yep. Yeah.
And so don't be the 49ers. But, man, I agree. That could totally happen. And maybe they haven't seen enough from Trey Lance to give up on him.
No.
Honestly, none of us have. I don't care if you're looking at one or two games, what you're looking at. Like, people are like, oh, this is all he did. It was one game you're talking about. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
if you really want to look at it, he played two games, and the one game he did look like what everyone's concerned about, and the second game he had a 70% completion rate, you know, and looked marketably better later in the season. So, like, I saw improvement in the two games I get to watch. I don't get to watch him practice and all this. I think this is rhetoric.
The move I want to make is to move on from Debo, which I know doesn't really fit show so much, but I just think, with the quarterback change, we really don't know how it will play out or if Debo is going to be that effective. I know we've seen Debo out of the backfield too. The dude is a freaking stud athlete, but with a quarterback change, we don't know how that's going to play out. Debo is going to be a very, very fantasy relevant player for years to come. That's not what I'm saying, but I think we might have just seen his ceiling season.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And so, you're going to get a shit ton if you trade.
And that's why I made that move to get Najee Harris for Debo. Yeah. It was kind of like, yeah. And it's like, I get it, but, like, I don't know. Like,
you might see more and more moves like that being made for that very reason. Like, it's tough. Like, when you have, like Michael Thomas had a wide receiver one season, and then since then, we haven't seen Michael Thomas for 2 years. You know, like, now it's a different situation. But, like, typically, like, even like Cooper Kupp, and I know nobody wants to say this, Cooper Kupp had a historical season. You know, like, that's not repeatable. Like, that's not going to happen again. There's going to be there's things. We talked about the Ram changes that are coming. Like, there's going to be things that affect him that aren't Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp's still an excellent player.
Woods.
Debo Samuel's still an excellent player. You know, we're not saying that these players aren't excellent. What we're saying is that is a historical season.
Yeah.
Historical. And he's not 22 years old like Chase. He's like, this is a guy that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not advocating for getting rid of wide receivers at 26 and 27 either. I'm not saying that. But when we're talking about what Debo did this year, you're right. You're getting Najee Harris plus back.
Yeah, but and here's the thing, because I agree with you. I'm not advocating for getting rid of 26, 27, even 28-year-old wide receivers either. But I will advocate for getting rid of 26, 27, 28-year-old wide receivers that gain value at those ages.
Yep.
Completely honestly, even like Keenan Allen, you know, because Keenan Allen has been great for years. And then we saw out of the 2019 season, he gained all that value at mm-hmm. his elder age. And it's just like there was, or it might have been out of the 2020 season, I think. 2019, I was all in. And then he hit, you know, but then you still saw some regression as the value went up at that age. So I'm all about getting rid of elder wide receivers with a value increase.
More excellent sage advice, Wagzilla Zero G.
I'm trying, man. I build some teams, Finero. That said, we should probably get out of here.
Maybe.
I am at Swagzilla Zero G.
I'm at Aardvark TV.
At Aardvark TV. This is at Rookie Fever Podcast, the actual final thoughts of this show. I've been thinking about a while and trying to think of a way to say it. But it has nothing to do with thinking. It has everything to do with listening. So that's my final thought is listen. It's as simple as that. But it goes with thinking. So like as soon as I start talking, you're now thinking about why you need to listen. Stop thinking about why you need to listen. Just listen. It's going to help you like in your life, in fantasy. We see this all the time on Twitter, all the time. If you're planning something with somebody, something at work, something domestically with my wife, I start to explain something to her. She finishes my thought, or like I've made her think of something else. So now my thought is interrupted. And I guarantee you this, if you listen, I guarantee that you're going to be more creative. You're going to allow the person that's talking to you to show they're going to be more creative, because now when you're done listening, you can think. But if you're thinking while you're listening, you're not really listening to them. You're not hearing their whole idea. You're not even taking it in. You're not allowing yourself to really create off of their idea. You're creating through their idea. Listen to what they have to say. You'll understand it much better. They won't have to explain it to you as many times. And then at the end of that, you will have time to collaborate, whether, again, it's with any of those people in the fantasy world, domestically, any of those things. But listen, give them the time of day, and I guarantee you that you will be more creative together. That is my final thought.
I feel like that was directed to me. In my personal life, I feel like I could do that a lot more.
If anybody feels like it was directed at them,
that was a good final thought.
I'm happy, yep. Honestly. And I think we can all be better at this. This is things I've noticed about myself. I'm trying to be a better listener. I'm not always. I think we could all. Because every time somebody comes to you with a creative idea, it sparks something in you. And that is good. It's good. But you still need to stop and listen. And then let your sparks just explode together. And I guarantee you, it's hard, but I guarantee you that this will work, and you'll become a better listener. You'll become more creative with whoever you are listening to. If there's a problem, even you're going to hear them out more. You know, don't assume like things about like what they're coming to you about. Let them tell you and listen. Just listen. That's just it. Just listen.
And we are out.
Yeah, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. Rookie fever. When you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now.
who got the 101 scouting is never done this stupid throw and run. I told you anyone size and speed just on real landing spot, not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout age for Rookie Fever stage?
Romeo loved Juliet, Juliet she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.